We thank you for your presence here tonight. We thank the Lord for the privilege and opportunity to come to this part of the country to see Brother Will, his family. We spent a few moments in his good home this afternoon with his precious wife and family. We appreciate his labors in the ministry. It's good to see Elder Peters. It's been a long time since I've been blessed to be in his presence. Good to see Brother Ronnie. Been a long time, Brother Ronnie, and always glad to see you. Many good memories that come there. Thankful for Brother Will and his labors here. Thankful for his precious parents that we've come to know and love. We thank the Lord for them. And we're thankful this evening for the privilege to once again come before you for just a few moments as we look to God's Word. We thank you for the invitation to come. We trust that you've been praying before now that the Lord would be with us and that He would grant unto us preaching grace just now that we might be able to say a few things. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our mind is very torn. We must confess we've been involved in occupational pursuit the last most of the day. And after the drive up to Atlanta yesterday in the rain and a business meeting this morning and the drive up to Brother Will's this afternoon, we're just thankful for traveling grace. But as much as we can say that is, we don't want to tell you much about me. It would take me about 5 seconds to tell you what was good about me tonight. It wouldn't take long at all. But if the Lord should bless us for just a little while and we can think upon Him, time would fail all of these preachers and all of our lives to tell of the good things of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is upon our hearts this afternoon as we've gathered out. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that with me. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. The positive declaration of Jesus Christ, our Savior, Lord and Master. What a blessing it is to be able to stand for just a few moments this evening. We pray in His name. Paul the Apostle says in the first chapter of the book of Romans, he says in the 14th verse, as we begin reading to introduce the subject on our hearts this evening, Paul the Apostle says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul the Apostle is speaking to a church at Rome, and he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is tonight, as we said, to come in His dear name with the inspired Word of God that lies open before us to a group of people that I believe have gathered out tonight for no other purpose than to hear of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What a blessing it is as we think about the freedom that we have to come to a place such as this. None of us had to pass any armed troops or meet out secretly at night as some of our forefathers have of our faith and order. We have a beautiful facility and building, and I commend you on it and thank the Lord for it, that we're to meet in tonight. I'm very comfortable, very thankful for the building that you have here. Good transportation to get us here tonight. We had a safe drive, for which we're very grateful and very thankful. We had hospitality once we came. We had good food that was prepared and brought lovingly that we could partake of. Even within ourselves, we had a desire to come here tonight, and that in and of itself is of the Lord. We have all these things that we're blessed with before we ever came and upon our arrival here this evening. But the greatest thing that we have tonight as we've gathered out is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells the church at Philippi, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And notice what he thanks Him for. It was not for the beautiful weather that they could talk about. It was not for the prosperous age that they found themselves in. He didn't thank His God upon every remembrance of them for any kind of trivial reason. But the reason that He thanked His God upon every remembrance of them was for their fellowship in the gospel, even until now. The fellowship in the gospel, even until now. You and I tonight have fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His gospel. Now when we begin to philosophize about our political beliefs or our economic beliefs or economic theories or any of the other theories that we might advance tonight, we probably soon might find a place to differ on that. But if we stick to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have fellowship in that.
That's right.
We can have fellowship in the positive declaration of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And I know tonight, as I've come here this evening, some of you may not know me, and I may not know you, but I trust tonight that we have a common message. When I joined the Old Baptist, or they gave me a home back at Union Church, Brother Tim, back in August, I believe, of 1988, October of 1988. I marveled at that time for the continuity, as we begin to travel among God's people, at the common doctrine that was proclaimed, the common practice that was proclaimed. Having come to the Old Baptist from another order, I was inquiring about where the headquarters of such a people could be. Where was the leadership of such a people as this? Where could it possibly be? And then I began to realize that there was no earthly kingdom. There was no earthly hierarchy of the clergy. But it was brethren that desired to know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and to preach such faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And the unity of the faith and the unity of the brethren and the unity of the practice was something that was just wonderful to me. As our brother has prayed tonight, that we've met out in the church established by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When he inquired of his disciples in those early days, he says, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, one of the prophets. But Jesus looked to those disciples, those who had disciplined their lives, forsook the fishing, forsook the collection of taxes, forsook the physician work that they were engaged in, whatever manner of work they were involved in, and discipled their lives after the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "But whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And old Peter was quick to answer. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, brethren, that was the thing back in the days of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the thing that set the religious leaders of the day on edge. When he declared himself to be the Son of God, that was what got their hackles up, if you'll let me put it in my word. That was what made them angry. That's what they despised so much, that he would set himself forth to be the Son of God, the God manifest in the flesh, that he had the ability or had the will to forgive sin. This was the work of God, and he set him forth. And they set him forth as being the Nazarene. They had set him forth as being Joseph's son. But he looked at those disciples and he says to them, "But whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus looks at this man by the name of Peter, who was quick to speak, and he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And the next thing that he does is he establishes in the disciples' mind the very essence of the church. Now, I want to tell you today, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was not established on the day of Pentecost. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ was not established at that time. The Lord added to the church on the day of Pentecost. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Upon this rock," and he did not look at Peter, Brother Will. He was not looking at a man, but he said, "Upon this rock, that chief cornerstone, the stone which the builders rejected," he said, "Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, I hear a lot of talk down our way. You probably don't have any of this up here. But the relevancy of the church, is the church still relevant? I'm amazed sometimes, and please don't take this being critical, but the names that come together, they're almost afraid of the name church, Brother Will. They're an assembly. They're this, they're that. They go by all kinds of names. Reconciliation Church, Compassion Church, all these names that I see. I want to tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." If Jesus Christ is not ashamed of the term church, we ought not to be ashamed of it today. It is a called out assembly of local believers, brethren. I believe in the church triumphant, the church militant of every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue. But I'm thankful tonight. I can't fellowship with all of God's children, but I'm thankful for a place that's set apart, dedicated for the worship of God's children, and a few of His children here on this earth that have been called out into a local assembly. We have the blessing tonight to come into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about the structure we're in, but I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ that is assembled here at this place called Macedonia this evening. And I trust this evening that as we've come, that we don't desire. Paul tells the church at Galatia, he says, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel." Right. He says, "Which is not the gospel." I want to tell you something. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He established His church upon this earth. And I believe when He comes back, this is my glorious hope this evening, when Jesus Christ comes back, and I know that He is because He said that He was. When He comes back, I believe there will be a people upon this earth that are praising His name, that are preaching the doctrine that you and I enjoy tonight. And I pray that it'll be a place called Macedonia. I pray it'll be a place called Bethlehem, a place called Old Canute, or wherever your attendance and membership may be. I pray that at that place is my prayer that the Lord would honor the gathering of His people there, and He would continue to feed them with the manna from on high. I believe there's a place that will publish that Jesus Christ, as Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe tonight in the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? It's an essential doctrine to what we believe. Very essential. There's no place to deviate from it. There's no place to turn aside from it. He is the eternal Son of God, has ever been and ever will be, equal to the Father. Notice what Paul says in the book of Hebrews chapter number 1, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in the latter days spoken to us by His Son. He says, who is the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person. That's a wonderful way of describing the Lord Jesus Christ. The brightness of the glory of God and the express image of His person. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren. There came a time that was before prophesied that Jesus Christ would come in a body that was prepared for Him. He would be born in a place that was before prophesied, and He would come in a form and a likeness such as you are tonight. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ necessarily says that He's eternal, equal with the Father, fully God, but He would also take upon Himself the form of a servant, take upon Himself the likeness of sinful flesh, and be fashioned as men, and would die in our room in our stead. No man could ever do that for you. I said the other day that if all the men of all kind, of all times said that we will die for the sin of one man, you find the best man that we can, you find the least sin that he's ever committed, if there is such a degree, we'll all die for that one man. I want to tell you, that one little sin, we might call it tonight, would never be paid for. But Jesus Christ came in the form and the likeness that we are. He made Himself obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and there on Calvary's cross, He was not offering Himself to a lost and ruined world. He was not offering Himself for the sake of Rome justice. He was not offering Himself for those that were looking upon that dreadful scene. He was offering Himself to a holy and righteous God in your place and in my place, in your stead and in my stead. And there upon the tree of the cross, Jesus Christ made the offering, and because He was fully God and fully man, He had the divinity of God, He had the holiness of God, and He also had our image, you see, and therefore in our room, in our stead, Jesus Christ, the virgin born, eternal Son of God, died in my room in my stead. I don't know about you, but that's good news for me. It's not good news that it took His death to pay for my sin, but the good news is that His death did pay for my sin. It paid for it eternally. It didn't make a down payment on it. It didn't make the best effort that it could. He didn't just come into this world and try to do something, but I'll tell you, Isaiah had already prophesied that he would see of the travail of his soul, and God would be satisfied by that offering. I'll tell you, that's good news to me tonight. That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the Proverbs tells us in chapter 25, verse 25, as good as thirsty water, as cool water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Do you get any good news when you turn on the television tonight? You hear anything on there, it just makes your heart swell up with pride. If you hear anything on there, it just makes you glad to be alive in 2013. Oh, I want to tell you, I'm glad to be alive, but I don't get it from CBS. I don't get it from NBC. I don't get it from the sewers of this world. Brethren, I want to tell you, when I find out something that's good, it's usually from a far country. And I'm not talking about Germany, France, or Iran tonight. I'm talking about the good news that comes to us that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He came into this world not to do His own will, but the will of Him that sent Him, and praise His wonderful name. He never had to contemplate or meditate what God had sent Him here to do. I tell this story sometimes. I want to tell it again here tonight. When I was working up in Stevens County, in the north part of the state, northeast part of the state, we had a big Baptist campground there that they came into my office and said, we want this property to be exempt for religious purposes. I said, wait a minute, it's 650 acres. I said, well, we have trails that people can go out and walk through the woods and places where they can sit and meditate and contemplate what God's will for their life is. You know, like the Lord Jesus Christ did when He was here. And that just about knocked me out of the chair. I said, Jesus Christ never had to contemplate or wonder what the will of God was when He came to this earth. His mind and the mind of the Father were one. He came down from heaven not to do His own will, but the will of Him that had sent Him. And this is the will of Him that has sent me, that all He hath given me, I should lose nothing but raise it up again at the last day. Perfect agreement, perfect concord, perfect will of God manifest in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to tell you, that's good news to me tonight. When I look upon my Savior tonight, when I think about His sufferings, that God would make His soul to be an offering for sin, you know, it's easy to see the sin of somebody else, isn't it? I hate to say this because I've got to sleep with her tonight. It's easy for me to see the sin of my wife sometimes. I won't tell you how easy it is for her to see mine. It's easy, though, to see the sin of somebody that's done some heinous crime. Somebody that's violated the laws of nature. It's easy to see that. But I think God's people every now and then need to look into the mirror of self-examination. And understand, Brother Will and I were talking this evening, I think one of the biggest obstacles to the doctrines of salvation by grace and God's electing love is the failure of two things. The failure to see God in His holiness and the failure to see us in our depravity. You say, preacher, I thought you were going to preach on good news tonight. I've got good news for you tonight. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Now, if you're righteous tonight, that message is not going to mean much to you. If you feel all full of yourself this evening and that you're self-sufficient in who you are or how you were born or how you were raised or who your pedigree is or what your nationality or what your race or who your parents were, the message of salvation doesn't mean much to you. But if you'll let me be real blunt, if you see yourself as a hell-deserving, hell-bound sinner outside of the grace and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, what else have you got tonight except the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Amen.
What else would you want to have tonight? What else would you want to know except we're preserved in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? We're preserved in His grace and His mercy. We were preserved in a covenant of grace that was made long before you and I had a being, had a substance, and yet before we had a substance, we were in the mind and the counsel of an almighty loving God who knew His people out of every nation, tribe, kindred, and tongue. And His Son, Jesus Christ, said, Father, I will stand as the surety of that covenant. I will stand in their room. I will stand in their place. I will stand in there for their payment. And at the appointed time, I will go and I will lay down my life for their sins. And Father, I will shed my blood and present it before your holy throne. And that alone will be their sufficiency. And the Father said, I will see of the travail of your soul and I'll be satisfied. That's good news to me.
Amen.
That's good news to me tonight. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes, you know, we ought not to be ashamed as old Baptists. Somebody said, well, it's not too many of y'all. That's true. There's not as many maybe as there has been. That's true. But I want to say you something this evening. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what the psalmist says in the 42nd chapter of the book of Psalms. I know you're familiar with it, but let's turn there for just a moment. Brother Marvin used to talk about this, Brother Ronnie. He said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night. When they continue to say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. Well, the multitude, they kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of my countenance. Notice what he says. As the hart panteth after the water brooks. Think about that. We said and quoted from Proverbs, as a cold water to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. What are we hungering and thirsting after tonight? You dear sisters and brethren too, I won't leave you out. Took care of our natural ways, our natural needs in a wonderful way tonight. We appreciate the good meal and the hospitality. Nothing like coming into an old Baptist meeting. Perhaps you've never been there, but you may not know everybody there, but you recognize what's on the table. Old Sister Weed Ivermeyer, Brother Ronnie, used to tell us that I've been a primitive Baptist all my life. She said, I've seen the preaching fail, but I've never seen the dinner fail. I can say amen to that. I've seen the preaching fail, but I've never seen the dinner fail. I hunger and thirst after the natural food. I was thankful to come in tonight and sit down at your gracious table and partake of the good food. I'll tell you, I've been thirsty. I remember back when I was a boy, some of you remember my daddy, we'd farm together and putting up hay in the hot summertime. You can get thirsty doing such as that. Feel like the tongue was going to stick to the top of your mouth. I couldn't wait till we got the water cooler and the water keg. Now, we didn't have bottled water back then. My granddaddy, Robert Scott, he would have a fit, folks, paying $1.50 for a bottle of water. But I've been hungry, thirsty enough, a time or two, I'd have paid $10 for a bottle of it, I believe. Thirsty for something to drink, thirsty for something to quench my thirst and cool my mouth and refresh my body and refresh my natural man. How much more, brethren and sisters? The psalmist says, as a hart panteth after the water brooks. You can go back in the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus and you'll find some people there that had been delivered from Egyptian captivity. They began to murmur and complain against the man of God that they had been brought out into the wilderness. There was no water for them to drink. There's a man by the name of Samson over in the book of Judges, and he has slain all these Philistines. And now, after God has delivered all these Philistines into his hand, his heart begins to fail him because of the thirst, the natural thirst that he has. I ask you tonight, are we like this heart that panteth after the water brooks for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it mean to us? We think tonight about grace being free, and certainly grace is free to those that it has been bestowed to. If it were not, it would not be grace. But I want to tell you, grace was not without a price, was it? Grace had a cost, my dear friends tonight. Oh, that we might hunger and thirst after the righteousness of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the psalmist said, I esteem thy words more than my necessary bread. We think about the food that we eat and the water that we drink. And it's necessary. We know that we cannot be sustained in this natural life without food and water. Have to have it. It's necessary to these bodies. But I want to tell you something. To the spiritual man, I believe there's a lot of God's people in this world today. And I say this, and I need to look in the mirror as well. They're so full of the things of this life until hungering and thirsting after righteousness is a concept that they don't even understand. We take sometimes, my brethren, I'm afraid, and I speak of myself, we take the things of God and the house of God and the blessings of the gospel so for granted. I wonder sometimes if we've ever been truly thirsty. It's this heart that is dear, that has been run perhaps by hounds all of its life or all day long, has come to the point that it can go no longer, and all it desires is just a refreshing drink. I don't know about you, but I come to some times like that in my life, spiritually speaking, and I pray that God would bless us more and more as we feel the heat and the oppression of this life. It might be all sunshine and roses in North Georgia, but I see things down our way that trouble me about our nation, about our young and rising generation, about my grandchildren. I've got 3 grandchildren, 1 on the way. What a blessing they are. Somebody said, and I don't want to be ugly in this, they said, be good to your children. Don't plumb kill them. They're God's grandchildren, are God's reward for not killing your grandchildren. I believe there's something to that. But I want to tell you something. I worry about what those little children will face in this life. Oh, that we can stir. I can't make them children of God. I understand that. But that they might see in me a hungering and thirsting after God's righteousness and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That they might see something in me and say, you know, old Papa might have had it right. That there's something in this world. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And these things will be added to you. I'm thankful tonight in the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that not only did He pay for our sins, but praise His wonderful name that He rose again for our justification. You and I today, we sing a hymn in our hymnal. We serve a risen Savior. He's in my heart today. That's good news to me. Every religious order of this world can take you to the grave of their founder. They can take you to the tomb of where their bones are laid. But you know, if we go to the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't find the smell of death there, my friend. No, praise His wonderful name. He rose again for our justification after spending 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He's established, as I said, His church before He would go away. He gave us the ordinance of baptism. He gave us the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, which you observe here at Macedonia, and we continue to observe around about God's kingdom. What a blessing it is to remember His death and His burial and His resurrection. To remember that the bread is a token of His body. The blood, the cup is a token of His blood. And that we understand that this is the blood of the New Testament. And we understand that this is my body, which is broken for you. And we partake of those things. And brethren, I'm thankful for that. But Jesus Christ in His death and His burial, my friend, if that had been the end of it, you and I would still not have good news to proclaim tonight. But Paul says this in Romans chapter 1, the same chapter that we read from, that he was declared to be the Son of God, declared to be. The final declaration of good news is that Jesus Christ was who He said He was, that Jesus Christ had accomplished what He came to do upon this earth, is that He arose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus Christ arose victorious over the grave, death, and hell. Now you tell me anybody else that's got a message like that tonight other than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He that is dead now lives. That's good news, isn't it? He rose victorious over the grave, never to die again. He's there. He must reign. I like what the minister said about that. He said not that He will reign, not that He might reign, not that He would like to reign if you will let Him, but He must reign until the last enemy has been destroyed, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death itself. You and I today have good news Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to close very quickly. I want Brother Wayne to come ahead and take the time that the Lord would bless him in. But go with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Timothy. This is one of the things, I guess, that has been such a blessing to me in the over 20 years now that I've been blessed to walk with God's people in the Old Baptist. He says in verse number 8 of the second of the first chapter of the book of 2 Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of gospel. Brother Harold, you've been here a long time. Are there afflictions in the gospel from time to time? Certainly there are. We know there are. I'm thankful for these two young brethren that sit here to my left hand tonight. I'm thankful for their love for the cause. The cause that they cry. I don't say that, brother. I say that in South Georgia, too. I don't just come up here and say that. I'm thankful for the stand of truth that you brethren have. Brother Wayne, I was telling him I enjoyed some of the works that he's done. And Brother Harold, there's afflictions in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul says to be partaker of the affliction of the gospel, he says, according to the power of God. Now notice this, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. That's what we've been trying to go about. But now notice verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now notice this. Who hath abolished death. Isn't that thankful? He's not given us a spirit of bondage again to fear, but he's given us a spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Right. Jesus Christ the righteous. Notice he says he has abolished death. Isn't that wonderful to think? Now you say, well, preacher, I'm still, I guess if we heard some folks tonight that sound like they're in a pretty serious condition. Last Sunday morning at Bethlehem, we had a lengthy list. Some were lying at the very edge of death, it seemed. But Jesus Christ has abolished death. Not that that we would experience death, we will still experience. But death can claim no victory over the child of God. In that sense, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now notice what he says. I love this last part of this verse, and this meant so much to me. He says, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Did not bring life through the gospel, did not bring immortality through the gospel, but brought life and immortality to light manifestly through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The life, the more immortality that God has worked in us through the Lord Jesus Christ, when we hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize what has been done for us. And it's not a proposition tonight. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a proposition. We hear some say, well, Jesus has done all he can. He came and made a way for you. Now, if you'll just find that way and walk in that way, you'll be okay one day. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ came. He trod the winepress before us. He trod it for us. And praise his wonderful name. When we hear the gospel preached today, it brings that life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's wonderful to me tonight. Life and immortality to light through the gospel. I can face uncertain economic times. I can face uncertain political times. I can face infringement on my personal liberties and all the problems that we see happening in our society today, because I realize in my heart today that the Lord Jesus Christ has abolished death, and when I hear the gospel, has brought life and immortality to light by the preaching of that gospel. What a blessing it is. I thank you for your good attention. Brother Wayne, I've taken more than I should of time. May God bless you, and thank you again for having us come to you.